I would go there to the personal responsibility and say, I believe that we're here to grow, to have the most conscious, most aware, most live into our spiritual directive, what we were put on this earth to do. And anything that's stopping us from that most exquisite life.
Welcome to the Unstoppable Woman podcast, where we explore what it means to create a truly exquisite life. I'm your host, Amira Alvarez, inviting you to be part of these intimate conversations about feminine ambition, what lies beyond traditional notions of success, and how to answer the question, what's next when you've already achieved so much? Let's dive in.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Unstoppable Woman podcast. I'm Amira Alvarez. I am the host of the podcast and also the founder and CEO of the Unstoppable Woman. And today we are doing something a little bit different. This is part of our coaching series that I have been engaged in. And if you've been listening to the podcast, you will have heard a couple of these already with colleagues of mine who are already successful entrepreneurs themselves. And the concept here is that you get to hear how an already successful, ultra successful woman gets their up level, gets coached, how you don't need to be broken. You don't need to have things falling apart to get coaching and to up level your life and your business. So today I am thrilled to have on the show a dear friend of mine. I'm honored to call her my friend and an amazing entrepreneur in her own right, Palak Shah. So Palak, please join us on the podcast and please introduce yourself to the audience so that they have some context of about who you are and what you do.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here, Amira. Yes, also honored to call you my friend. It's been a few years now that we've known each other and talked to each other consistently. So really grateful for your friendship and excited to be here. So my name is Palak Shah. I am a real estate investor and a coach. So we own a portfolio of properties. We have a $10 million portfolio in Philadelphia, and we do large multifamily properties all over the country. And I am a coach to teach others how to do the same thing. And my background, I was a mechanical engineer. I worked for 17 years and then had kids, and it became a whole different life. And I realized it wasn't really the life I had built wasn't really the life I wanted. And I made the shift to real estate. And then people started asking me how I had scaled the portfolio so fast. So then started coaching. And since then we've built multiple multi-million dollar businesses. It's amazing to be a business owner, very different than being a corporate employee.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. So many of our listeners are entrepreneurs in their own right, and some are CEOs, you know, high level directors, managers, VPs in corporations. So the commonality is that they are the achievers, the ambitious ones, the driven ones. And I know that that defines you as well, even though you're in a really good place with all of that right now. Like, I think, well, let's start the conversation there. Do you feel like you're in a good place with like the workload, the drive, the ambition, and the kind of desire for spaciousness and ease and flow that you crave?
If I were to answer that, I would truthfully, I start the day feeling super grateful for this life, because if you knew how I started, this life is very different than I grew up on hand-me-downs. A kid of a single mom growing up in the 80s in India and in a very traditional environment. And my mom pushed me. She was a feminist. Like, she pushed me. You can do whoever you can be whoever you want to be. And then here I am today. And my husband is a feminist, and he's just extremely progressive and supportive. And I have finally, in my 40s, like a lot of women, like in our 40s, we finally feel like we've built this life that we could only have dreamed of, right? So I wake up feeling extremely grateful. I have two beautiful kids. Like, I love this life. And there's really no limit to how much I can grow. No one controls my destiny anymore. I have full control. So absolutely grateful. But there is always something that we're working on. There's always something that's not right. And so if I were to kind of think about what's that thing right now, I would say I feel growth comes with a lot of self-reflection and a lot of work. And in my work on myself and all of that, I have learned that being a high achiever is a trauma response. And we've talked about that, Amira, as well, right? It's a trauma response. And it's, you know, like a parent who challenged you all your life to, and nothing was ever good enough. And, you know, and that was the only choice that that parent had, right? Like my mom only had that choice. Like we had nothing. And so challenging your kid to really become the best version of themselves was the right way. And I'm really grateful for that. But the other side of the coin is this trauma response of constantly searching for the next thing.
The next thing to achieve.
Next thing to achieve.
Yeah.
And I have really, last few years, I've really worked on, you know how people ask you sometimes like, what's that word of the year for you? And I would say rest. I would say stability. I would say compassion for myself. Like these are the kind of things that I would always say. And I feel like I'm finally there for the most part. I don't beat myself up for being not productive, for not achieving, and still continue to achieve. But there's one thing that lately I have been, this one conundrum, maybe I should say, because Amira, you're so wise and you'll just have like something amazing to add to this, is I feel like as an immigrant, as a woman, as a person of color, everything is kind of rigged against us. And I feel like I have this resentment of not having the privileges that, and I would consider myself a privileged woman. And I feel like as I grow, I find that there are these little corners of my soul and my brain where that lack of that privilege, that trauma kind of pops up. And I feel extremely resentful when that pops up and I have to work on it. And I always feel like, why do I have to be in this fight with like one hand tied behind my back? And yeah. I mean, in theory, I know that nobody has the perfect life. I understand that. But I still have this resentment. And I feel like if I could kind of get over that, and it's, you know, maybe I'm feeling entitled. Like, I don't know, but...
I don't think it's entitlement. And I do think this is, let's explore it. Let's see where we go. Okay. And I think if we can work this and unpack it a little bit so that you have clarity on it and it no longer drives you, right? Mm-hmm. You have more awareness of it, more consciousness of it, and therefore can make different choices in response, then that is going to allow you to create a new response pattern. And from there, that's going to allow you to create more energy in your life. Like it's going to free up this energy suck that comes with that resentment.
And it's such a negative narrative. Like considering how grateful I am, I just don't like that there is this one little negative narrative that like always follows me around. And it's just not a feeling I want to burden myself with.
Absolutely. And it's also not anything that you want to model and condition your children with
absolutely.
As well. So that's big. Okay, so let's dig into this. So there's a few avenues in, and we're just going to pick one and we'll tap on all of them.
All right.
So give me an example of what might pop up in your experience, like something, a real example of something that's happened that has triggered this thinking, this line of thought.
Oh, Amira, I was afraid you were going to ask me that and I didn't come with anything. And I'm going to have to think on the spot. I was thinking about it today and I was like, this is the question that Amira is going to ask me.
And I'll talk for a moment while you think. So for the listeners and for you, the reason I ask for a specific example is not because I want to pull up pain or agony or something like that, but because if we talk in the hypothetical, like this is in general what happens, then we can't work on what's coming up specifically for you, right? And if we have a specific example, then we can dive into how that's working.
Okay.
How it's playing out.
So I have two things that came up. Number one, I still have some amount of guilt when I experience pure joy. Absolute joy with like a day beautifully spent where, you know, my kids are just having fun and like laughing and I am relaxed having that cup of tea and not worrying about anything. And then I always have like this guilt, like what could go wrong? And then the second one that's more, even more specific than this is I feel like I still make some financial decisions. And this is funny because I'm a wealth coach and I invest millions of dollars every year. And, you know, I've helped people create their multi-million dollar portfolios, thousands of people. And this is one of the things we talk about all the time and we work through it. And I feel like I still have this and I notice it is I sometimes make financial decisions based on very immediate, I don't want to say immediate, but very short-sighted mindset. You know, when we first started, I'll give you an example. So when I this is like first job out of college, got my first paycheck, I said, I am done buying used furniture now. I'm going to buy an IKEA bedroom set. Okay. And like, that was such a big deal at that time. It was like 28, 19, 18 years ago. I don't know. And I put all this IKEA stuff in my cart and went to the checkout and I started it was like $500. Like, it's not even any that much money. Right. But like, I started hyperventilating and I had to call my friend and I was like, I'm in this checkout line. I have all this stuff in my cart and I don't know if I can do this. And she's like, I know you always get like this with, you know, spending money. You're going to be fine. Just like go through it. We'll figure it out afterwards. So then bought it, enjoyed that bedroom set for many years. Since then we've, you know, come a long way. So I feel like that person is still inside me, except now I do that when it's $500,000 or, you know, like,
yeah,
it's just absolutely. The magnitude has gotten bigger. I can take a risk of, you know, $500 doesn't mean much. 5,000, I went to 50,000. I went to 100, you know, like,
and now it's understand.
Okay, yeah, $500,000, $1 million. I'm still like, wow.
So Paula, connect the dots for me, because both of these examples, I've had many conversations and coached many high achievers through that are white women, right? Even some white men. Okay. Mm-hmm. So connect the dots for me on that, how it connects to the being an immigrant and right. Cause you said you think it's rigged against us and resentment around that.
How so, is that related? I mean,
these could be two other things that we just need to attend to and they're not related to that, which is fine. They could have just come up as you were thinking about challenges, but if they are related, I want to know how you connect them.
Okay. I realize now I didn't connect the dots. So I feel like the thing with money comes from being a South Asian immigrant and we are conditioned, and I'm generalizing here, obviously there are exceptions, but as a South Asian immigrant who didn't grow up with much, we were always conditioned to be extremely responsible with money. And that being responsible doesn't work in your favor when you're an investor, right? Like, because you really have to learn how to take risks. And I had to learn that. And my husband, who's my better half in a lot of ways, is amazing at really separating that mindset versus the risk-taking abilities. And I've gotten this far, but it was a cultivated, learned technique as an adult. It wasn't something that always came naturally to me. And so I see it as I go bigger, I get bigger. I feel like I've learned to flex that muscle, that risk-taking muscle, and I've gotten this far. But I can continue to flex it, or I could really see
where does the resentment come in?
So then when something like this happens, I'll make a decision around it, and I'll get to the other side of it. And sometimes those decisions are wrong because I'm making them from a scarcity mindset, and then I get upset with myself why would you do that when you know better, right? Like that's kind of the kind of thing. And then I start, once I work through that, like, okay, you know, give yourself grace. Like I know all the tools, right? Like we know all the tools, I can do that. And I get to the other side. And then I feel resentful that if I didn't have so many things rigged against me, maybe.
And the rigged against you is single mother growing up in India.
Right. Having so much trauma that I'm bringing it up in my current life that it has no place in, right?
Hey there. I just want to take a quick moment and ask, what's the thing holding you back from your own success? The hidden shadow or saboteur potentially at play for you? And do you know how to find it? We often have that one thing keeping us from our next level. And it's not always the strategic move. It's often the internal one. I found in my own journey of success in building my exquisite life, it's what I call a core wound or loyalty pack. What's that? I share more at theunstoppablewoman.com, right on the homepage. Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now, let's get back to our episode. Okay, so it was super useful. So I'm going to do, the way I coach, which you've seen somewhat, is more questions personalized to you, but I also want to give you what I call the meta knowledge, okay? So that you can understand what's happening as you're doing it, okay? As we're participating. So
exciting, Amir.
Okay, good. I love it. So here's the thing. Yeah. The framework that you and I use around this trauma conditioning, right, is I want to call it our conditioned self. Okay, this is how you were brought up in your early childhood, your family structure, your culture, what you heard, what you got love for. Okay, and just a step back, even a step further. We're raised by our primary caregivers. Usually this is our mother and or father. Sometimes we have foster parents or grandparents or something like that. You are raised by your mother. When we're children, we know that our survival, our actual physical survival, is dialed in and will stay in place if the love between us and our primary caregiver is flowing. We know that if that love is flowing, that I'm going to be fed, I'm going to be clothed, I'm going to be taken care of. You could be destitute, but you'd still feel secure in this world. Okay. Sure. You might have to skip meals, but you would still feel secure in this world because that love is flowing. So then we get conditioned to, I'm going to speak in a kind of loaded way, jump through hoops to get that love.
Right.
Okay. Mom says we have to be like this to be a good daughter, to be a good citizen, and I'm going to cut off my love if you don't show up that way. Now, this is the way 99.9% of parents raise their kids. Their little Pollock makes a mistake. Mom gets mad, cuts off the flow from her heart. Little Pollock says, oh no, that's not survivable.
Right. Your survival gets questioned.
Because I will do whatever. Yeah, I'll do whatever it takes to get it back. Okay, so now you are a well-conditioned human, right? Right. And you are living as your mother conditioned you to live.
Yes.
Okay. Doing her best. We're not bagging on mom.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Well-intentioned, but that was their way to teach us what they thought was best, right?
Yeah. Like that's
what they thought.
Yeah. And that was passed on generation over generation over generation. It evolves every generation because it's a different time era. But there's a lot of conditioned beliefs about what is good and right in this world that you get passed down. Okay. So now flash to 2024, which is when we're recording this in. And you know better, right? Your intellectual self. Okay, your conscious aware self knows differently, okay, than your conditioned self, but your conditioned self is what drives the security show. I am gonna survive, I'm not gonna survive, okay? And your conditioned self is programmed in your subconscious mind. Okay. It lives and breathes in your subconscious mind, and which means it's happening on a subconscious level. It's like your autonomic nervous system. It's just happening below your conscious awareness, and it's driving everything that you do.
Yeah.
Okay. So your conditioned self, you could also call your identity, your self-image. These are all the same thing. Okay. But you're conditioned to behave a certain way, and that feels safe. Okay. Yeah. That's the most important part. It feels safe to behave this way. Now, as the adult Pollock who's running this multi-million dollar business and investing millions of dollars in both her business and her life in different ways, she knows, okay, I need to make these kinds of decisions to make investments. You've done the math, you figured out the system, you know how to do it, and you make that kind of investment, but it feels to your subconscious, okay, your conditioned self, like you're going to die because...
Right. That's why there's a physical response to it, right?
Correct.
I feel like my survival is being questioned.
Correct. Because it goes contrary to your self-image, your conditioned self, okay? So does that make sense?
Yeah. So I'm wondering, now that you're saying that, I'm wondering if it triggers like a sense of feeling... irresponsible. And I was always praised for being responsible and always achieving and always putting, there was a lot of talk when I was growing up around always working towards the future as opposed to enjoying today. That was like the thing with the kids of my generation growing up in that specific town and that community. Like it was always about like, oh, give up your enjoyment now in your teenage years so you can have a good life later. It was always about that. And so anytime, I think it comes back to that. And also, I also, like, if I think of the worst case scenario, like, why is this making me shake? And question my survival. I feel like, so I support my mom. I've supported my mom for like 10, 15 years now financially. And I feel like, oh my God, like, what if I lose everything because of this one choice that I'm making, and I can't support her in her, these are the years of her life when she actually needs that financial support. Like that, again, that was also very common where I was growing up in that community. Yeah. Parents sold everything to like send the kid off to college. Like, we're not gonna care about our future because you're gonna go off to college and someday you'll take care of us. Like that's like the...
So here's the thing. We can, let's first speak truth from a conscious intellectual perspective to this. One, you've built a portfolio. Mm-hmm. You know how to build a portfolio. You teach people how to build portfolios. Mm-hmm. If you lost everything for some crazy reason, right? You could just build it again.
I could do it again. And it would take less time this time.
Right. Okay. Right? So we know that. Okay. Right. Two, you also wouldn't lose everything. Okay.
Right.
You have, I happen to know some little bit about your life and your business, and you have multiple channels.
Right.
And that just wouldn't happen. Okay.
Right. So, in theory, this is not possible. Sorry.
Yeah. So you have to first articulate to yourself, okay, this isn't true. We're speaking truth to this. Then you have to recognize that your subconscious, your conditioned self, is telling you stories to get you to buy into it, to believe it, to stop.
Interesting.
Okay. Because you just talked back to me. You just said, yeah, I know that. I know that. Of course. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know that you know that. Okay. This is not a question of whether your conscious intellectual self knows that. This is your subconscious conditioned self telling you a story that's happening beneath your level of awareness. Okay. So what's the way out here? Okay. So now you have this meta knowledge. This is new to you. You're like, ah, yeah, that's what's going on. Okay, I get it. Okay. So now when you have that feeling, you've told me just now, you can feel it in your body, the shakes, yeah, the whatever, right? We have these feelings are in the body. They're not just right. thoughts. Okay. When you have a feeling that is I'm going to just grossly say a negative feeling, mm-hmm, I want you to pause. This is really critical. You just pause and you go, who's telling me that story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Is that my conscious self telling me that story? Or is this my subconscious self that's telling me the story?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the next step is if it's your subconscious self, and you'll know the difference. If it's mm-hmm. your conscious self, you can troubleshoot the issue. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which is like, oh, wait, if I make this decision, I do need to make this other decision too. And I need to balance the portfolio in this way. Like there will be things you need to do. That's conscious right. self. Like this needs to happen to get a good business decision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Subconscious self, free floating freaking anxiety. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It has nothing to do consciously. You're like, oh yeah, no, I'm good.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
And sometimes it's not as straightforward because we haven't paused to think about it. But when you think about it, if you go, is this a good business decision? Okay, mm-hmm. I make good business decisions. Dun, dun, dun. And you pause and you think about it and you're like, yeah, this actually makes sense. Therefore, this feeling, mm-hmm. this is a story that my subconscious mind, my conditioned self is telling me to get me to go back to my conditioned self. Okay?
Yes.
Okay?
This is really interesting, this question that you just asked, like, is this a good business decision? Because in that moment, I'm not asking that question. Well, I already knew it was a good business decision. That's why I went on that path, right? But mm-hmm. then when it comes to finally pulling the trigger, and this, unfortunately, this only happens once in 2 years. So there's not enough frequency to continue working on it anymore, right? So, but I love this question.
I'm sure you will find, if this is what came up, I'm sure you will find that this, maybe it's not investment decisions, but other things that cause you to kind of clutch inside, like.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Something just popped for you. What just yes. popped for you?
Yes. So it's not just the bigger financial decisions. It's not investing I'm good with. I can invest multiple million dollars. It's spending. I just figured out it's actually only when it's spending. It's not about investing.
It's that IKEA. It's that IKEA.
It's that
situation.
IKEA. But yes, yeah. that's what it yeah. is. That is
okay.
Yes.
So use this technique
mm-hmm.
with that. And I also want to go back to the other scenario that you shared, which was I'm having this perfect day. Mm-hmm. I'm in pure joy. Everything mm-hmm. is clicking and mm-hmm. I feel guilty. So that and then you said you go into like, well, what could go wrong?
Yes.
Okay. So that story of what could go wrong, that's your subconscious getting you to agree with it's not okay to be someone who has ease and flow. Because when you were growing up, the experience that you had was not ease and flow, was not spaciousness, it was right. scarcity. And you agreed, you made a loyalty pact, this is important as well, you made a loyalty pact with your mother
mm-hmm.
to be just like her, okay? Mm. Because here's what happens, okay? She's your mother god, okay? She's where security comes from. It's not
sure.
true, but in the right. the moment, you think.
Inside yeah. us all, we're still children at some
yeah,
level.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So you said mother god is flipping out about money. Mm-hmm. I'm using my own words, but like yes. challenged by it, is worried by it, is feeling guilty about spending money, all that. And as a child, mm-hmm. not consciously, but as a child, you can read your mother, okay? Mm-hmm. You can go directly into her and you know exactly what's going on with her,
mm-hmm.
okay? There is not, she can say everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want an ice cream? And you know she's terrified about yes. making rent, okay? Like she might not articulate it, but you have access to that because connected like
even
that.
Even in positive situations, you know what the underlying message is.
Totally. Yeah. So you made a loyalty pact with her, which was mm-hmm. mom is like this, meaning freaked out about money, scared, all of that. Okay. I can't make my mother god wrong because she's where love/security comes from. If I made her wrong, I would be all by myself. Like I would not have security. I would not have that love. So she can't be wrong.
Yeah.
That behavior, that feeling state, that way of being in this world, I'm going to say that is correct. And I'm going to make a loyalty pact with her that says, I'm not going to make you feel bad, mom, by behaving in a different way, even though I know that this is not a good way to behave. You knew that as a child. Okay. Right. Just trust me on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to make you wrong because you're my mother god, right? I'm going to make myself wrong.
It's better for my survival to make myself wrong than my caregiver wrong.
Yeah.
I know the lingo. It just clicked right now, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm going to make myself wrong, which is not being freaked out about money. And I'm going to create a loyalty pact with her and say, I'm going to be just like you, mom. Okay. Okay. And of course, you've done your work. You've done a lot of work to evolve beyond that and look at your life. It's like hugely different than your mother's. And yet on that conditioned subconscious level, you still have a loyalty pact with her that says, I'm going to be just like you, mom.
Right. And it's related to either spending money, whether it's on the business, on myself, on, you know, on growth, on family, whatever, it's spending money or feeling that pure joy. There is just, and I, as you were talking, I actually figured out it's not resentment. I've never really felt resentment towards, I've never really compared my life to someone else's to feel that kind of resentment. I realized what it was. You helped me articulate it through this conversation. It's actually, I'm tired of having this come up still. And I feel like, why now? Like I did all this work, I achieved all this, and why is it still popping up? And like that, I think it's like not resentment, it's more like, this is not the way it should be. And it's also, I think it also stems from really being hard on yourself. Like why couldn't you have figured this out already?
Hey, Amira here. Want to know more about what keeps uber successful women from achieving everything they want in life? Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now let's get back to the episode. So a few things there. So if we go back to the resentment piece, which is where you started, and I give you a little frame on that. So I figured out long ago that resentment, when resentment comes up, it's an indication that you're not taking personal responsibility. And I would get pissy with myself. What do you mean I'm not taking personal responsibility? I'm like doing all my work and all that stuff. But if I like, okay, calm down and go look, where are you not taking personal responsibility?
That's exactly what I literally through this conversation figured out. That it's because it's not resentment. It's like,
it's frustration.
I'm tired of taking personal responsibility. And it's hard to, and then it's like, why don't we just put it on something else this time? You know, just like, because we are all about hyper responsibility, right? Like that's how you.
Well, let me splice that for you. Okay. Because I'm going to differentiate between responsibility in the way that I think you were raised with responsibility, like do the right thing as it was defined by others. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And like responsible to mother, responsible to my kids. That's another way of framing it. I don't mean that. I mean, when I say personal responsibility, when we are in resentment, we're saying something outside of us is wrong and it's making me feel this way.
And right.
It's not
I got the other, right. Yeah. I got what you meant. Like originally we talked about responsibility in the sense that you're a responsible child mm-hmm. versus now taking responsibility for how we define our present and future and our actions and our decisions. That's where we are now, right? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, you said something which is like, why do I have to keep working on this? Why is it still here? Okay. And so I would go there to the personal responsibility and just push back maybe a little bit on you and say, you know, I believe that we're here to grow, to have the most conscious, most aware, most like live into our spiritual directive, what we were put on this earth to do. And anything that's stopping us from that most exquisite life, okay, where we are fully expressed and fully living our spiritual directive. We each have a different one, right? Okay. Anything that's stopping us from that is our place of growth, and we need to lean into it. And I see often high achievers be like, I have this story in their head. I've worked so hard. I've done so much. Why is this still freaking coming up? Why do I need a coach? Why do I need to do this? Well, you want your freedom. You want your next level of an exquisite life. And, you know, sometimes even for the brightest women and women who have done a lot of work on themselves, whether it's through therapy or coaching or whatever it is, you can't see the forest for the trees, right? Like you're in it yourself. So, you know, I would say if you can lean into, okay, well, what's the thing that I need to learn right now? Or what's the thing that, how do I need to become more, grow here? That would help you move through that. And let me pause for a second and let you respond to that. And then I have a few more things that I can give you on how to move through that if you want.
It's interesting because we got here by working on ourselves. And I think every so often you kind of feel like, well, do I still have to do work in this area? It's the area I have been working on this whole time. And so why is it still, you know, like I've been working on this balancing wanting growth and consistently growing and enjoying it. And I think that both of the examples I gave you about the money and spending on myself and the feeling the joy are both still elements of this balance. And really just, I don't like the word balance because it's just.
Yeah, yeah.
There's but no such thing as balance, but you know what I mean.
Absolutely. So here's the thing. The way you're looking at this is growth or joy. And the way you need to look at this is growth and joy.
Oh my God. That is amazing. The mind blown emoji. That's me right now. Yes. Yeah. And that's the hard part.
Because you associate, this is the conditioned self, you associate growing with struggle, with working really hard, with having to push and grind. Okay.
Growing is the means to an end. It's not the final
the joy.
Outcome.
Yeah, it's not the joy of the journey.
It's okay? not the and joy of the journey.
I want you to start thinking about the challenges that are coming up for you when they come up. Because if you're growing, there will be challenges by definition.
Right.
You're growing into the next level of yourself. Okay. Right. This is how can I be in joy right now? How can I have an open heart? How can I be delighted even when the circumstances around me are not what I had intended, wanted, wished for? You know, there can be a lot of chaos in business. There can be a lot of chaos in life. And so leaning into how this is more than we can do on this, you know, podcast recording, but there's a methodology for leaning into an open heart while you are in the challenge. And I'm so much better at that than I used to be. I'm not perfect. We're all doing the work. Like I want to be super clear that this isn't about, because for high achievers, we think that there's a there,
right? Mm-hmm. And like, I am going to do this and become perfect. But what I would rather you do is understand how to get yourself back to joy, how to get yourself back to an open heart, how to get yourself into a place where you make that shift in a nanosecond versus a day, right? Yes. Or 2 days, right?
That's amazing, because that is it. That is basically it. It's the growth versus, it doesn't have to be versus joy.
Yeah.
And and how do you experience joy in growth? And it's in theory, you know, in theory, we know this. And most times we can do it. It's those times that it's hard to do it sometimes.
I get it. I get it.
And I feel like the more we grow, the layers are deeper. And the more we achieve, the things we had to work on were all the low-hanging fruit. We worked on those. And then now the things that we have to work on are the deeper cuts and the deeper trauma and the deeper issues. And it doesn't, you know, up until now, it was like, hey, if I know what I'm facing, that alone solves it most times.
Yeah.
And it's not like that anymore. Just knowing, because now we probably know a lot of the things we're facing, but it's not as easy as just knowing anymore, right? It takes so much work, more work, because the layers are deeper. The stakes are higher.
Maybe higher, for sure. I would say that it's just, I mean, we came at this from a psychological perspective and helped you understand that. The next phase of this would be looking at it from a spiritual perspective, okay? Because now we got to the core root. I would like to be in joy. I would like to feel joy. I would like to go through my day with an open heart. I would like to go through my day, whether it's with my kids or with my business, feeling like I deserve to feel amazing every day and feel amazing, right? Like that's the spiritual work. And when I say spiritual, I don't mean religious. I mean, like, how do we get clear with ourselves around the fact that we're worthy and deserving, and our greater self is allowed to live joyously, right? That we don't need to be our small self. So more to come on that.
I love it.
I think this is a good place to wrap. Any last thoughts, Palak, on your takeaways here today? And then also, can you share with people where they can find you and your work? So if they want to look you up, they can do that.
One, I mean, this isn't the first time we've talked about deeper things, and I've always enjoyed it. And it's so amazing to watch you do your magic. Yeah, I feel very fortunate to have seen this and been a part of this. It's amazing. In terms of takeaways, I think the biggest one is the one what you said at the very end, which is growth versus joy. Is how do we stay joyous? This is a conversation I was having with my mom, by the way, a couple of days ago, and we were talking about how someone we know was always getting into arguments with people. They were always getting into arguments. And that person has been through a lot more than I could ever imagine. And I was telling my mom that, you know, there is just lack of joy, and it's going to be harder for them to find it because of all that they went through than it may be for me. And it may be easier for me to find it than it was for my mom, because her life was tougher than mine, right? Like, it's just going to be. And I think you've just really solidified that, hey, that finding that joy in growth, I think that's like the one thing now that's going to be the big thing to work on. And I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I love it too. Yeah. So
You can find me on Instagram at Open Spaces Women, and DM me if you have any questions. If you want to learn how to invest in real estate, that's what we do.
Fantastic. I love it. So we'll put that in the show notes as well. So if people need to, they didn't catch it and write it down, that they can find it. And that is the next phase, Palak. That is the next level of the journey. And yeah. everyone is at a different place in the journey, right? People, right. I work with, you came to this conversation with particular things. That was exactly what we needed to do today. And every day there will be a different, you know, version of Palak that needs attending to. And for a different person, there's different things that are coming up. But I think that there are a lot of commonalities here for a lot of really, truly, you know, driven, ambitious, successful women, that there is a little bit of a trauma response, that we have this conditioned way of being. It has gotten us a huge amount of success. It has gotten us to this place. And there's a part of us that's like, can I really let go of this and have this joyous life? Or am I going to lose my success if I start doing it differently? And the thing is, you won't, but you need to learn. It's like you need to recondition yourself to a different way yeah. of thinking, feeling, being, acting, and embody that. And so much of this is really about embodying the next level. So thank you, Palak. It's been a total pleasure. I have loved doing this with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being a guinea pig on the on the podcast and doing this. And I'm
thank
so
you
glad
for having me.
Yeah. Congratulations on your breakthrough. And until next time, this is the Unstoppable Woman Podcast. Thank you for listening. Please go ahead and give this a thumbs up or a 5-star review or share it with your friends. We would love to hear your comments, and I read all of them. So wherever you're listening to this, please take a moment to let us know what you thought, what you related to. Do you have some of the same things that came up for Palak? We'd love to hear. And with that, we're a wrap, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.
Most ambitious women I work with already have good lives, possibly even great. But there's often this one area that is fine as is, but not yet exquisite. And yet, when we unlock that one area, they access a whole new level. I want to personally invite you to book a complimentary call with me and discover what that unlock could do for you. These calls are for women who have done at least a million or more in their business or executive career and are ready for an exquisite life inside and out. You can book our conversation at theunstoppablewoman.com/connect.